Tonight we're going to talk about dispensationalism, the dispensational principle in biblical hermeneutics. Biblical hermeneutics. I don't know whether you've been in one of my biblical hermeneutics classes yet.
Mm-mm.
All right, biblical hermeneutics means the science of interpretation of Scripture. How do you interpret the Scripture?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do this? What happens? Hermes, where it comes from, was the Greek god of interpretation. And, of course, biblical hermeneutics means the science of interpretation of the Bible. And we've studied several different principles here so far. We're on page number 13 in Hartel's Biblicals of Principle Hermeneutics. It's a very small book. It's one of the most simple of the biblical hermeneutics books. I have three that I refer to, and I will read from them at different times, but this is the one we're going to use as a guide as we go through this. Many people today do not believe in dispensationalism. Dispensationalism is that how God dealt with man in a certain period of time. Now today, we did class number 10 and verse number and class number 11 here, and we are on the page number 13 in this book. And as you look at this chart, which I wish was big enough to go all the way across so you can see it better out there, we have eternity here and we have eternity there. And between those two eternities, there is a marked off piece of time, or piece of eternity called time. Time and space. Now, you have to realize when you're studying the Bible that somewhere in there, where you are, if you're studying the life of David, it doesn't apply to us in many ways, aspects today. Nor Solomon. Nor the judges. Nor Adam. There are principles in there that you can apply to you today, which are universal principles, but what happened in eternity past, here, Marilyn, this is a test. What happened in eternity past?
Well, there were spirits and angels.
All right, spirits and angels were created in eternity past, not space and time. Okay? Spirits and angels were created in eternity past, not in space and time. What is the oldest verse in the Bible going back in time?
John 1 and 1.
John 1 and 1. In beginning kept on being the Word, or Jehovah, and though Jehovah kept on being a part of the Godhead, because Jehovah kept on being God. Now, Jehovah is the Son. Jehovah means what? He who shall become. In eternity past, we're reviewing what we did today to some extent. We have to review before we can go on. We have to have a foundation to stand on before you can leap out there in space. Okay? In eternity past, God created angels and He created spirits. And basically, why did He do that? Well, everything that God had created is to glorify Him, okay? Because He did it. But He was getting ready to do some fantastic things. And He wanted an audience. Okay? The audience was the spirits and angels. Their audience. Their participants. In to see the glory of God. Now, angels are pretty much servants. But in many ways, God serves all things. Just catch that. In many ways, God serves all things. While in the world did He serve the angels? As their messengers, their servants. How did He serve them?
Gave them purpose.
He what?
Gave them purpose.
Well, yes, he gave them purpose. He gave them something to do. When God creates something, he always gives it something to do. But what else? The Bible says that the angels shouted for glory when God spoke the worlds into existence. Okay. Now, in eternity past, God created the heavens and the earth, not in space and time. The Genesis 1 and 1 says, Barashith bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. In one of the beginnings, back in eternity, God had created the heavens and the earth. It's done. It's finished. This isn't in space and time. So many people say today that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. He reconstructed the heavens and the earth in 6 days. When he created the heavens and the earth, he did it instantaneously. It didn't take him 6 days. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
He spoke it into existence now. Kabam, it happened. Bow. And it happened. Now Genesis 1 and 2 tells us, now this is all back in eternity past. We're not in space and time yet. Adam hasn't been created yet. In eternity past, Genesis 1 and 2 is still in eternity past. And it says, we ha'aretz, and the earth. Hathiah, she had become tohu wabohu. And there was a chaos, the earth was chaos. It became chaos. God did not create the earth chaos. He did not create it a mud ball. He created it a finished product. And then it says, there was darkness over the face of the earth. The darkness became. And then it says, Spirit God hovered over, suffered over, mourned over the faces of the deep. The faces of the deep and of the waters. And there we have the beginning of the reconstruction of the earth and the heavens. I don't know how much is out there in the heavens that he reconstructed. But Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 tell us that Satan made quite a mess of everything. Now, in Ephesians, the third chapter, in verse number 11.
First chapter?
Ephesians chapter 3. Starting all the way back in verse number 8. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles. The unsearchable riches of Christ, the unfathomable, the untrackable. That means not be able to track. I track everything, don't I, Marilyn? Marilyn? I track all kinds of things, don't I?
Yeah.
Remember when the neighbor gave chickens to us over there, but they couldn't find them? He said, I don't know where they are. I said, okay, where'd they begin from? Right over here is where they came from, so I tracked the chickens and I found them where they were. I track those chickens. Now, you can track a lizard. How many of you ever tracked a lizard? A horned toad? An ichneumon? A spider? You can track everything. You can track a doodlebug. Have you ever seen a doodlebug?
Mm-hmm.
That little thing that goes like that and makes little things like that in the soft dirt. And then there's a hole right there.
Mm-hmm.
You can find where that doodlebug goes, and you can reach down there, and there he is, in that hole, waiting for somebody to come by. Some other bug that he's going to eat. You track these things. Everything leaves tracks. The Indians used to say even a hummingbird leaves a track in the sky.
Mm.
Even a hummingbird leaves a track in the sky. The unfathomable riches of Christ. And to bring to light what is the administration. Now, dispensation means administration. Let's look. We start back here in eternity past and we have an administration. What happened there in eternity past? Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 tells you what happened back there.
Ezekiel
The first Eden was created back then, Eden. And evidently Eden's always been in the earth. The first Eden was created back here, and Lucifer was put in that Eden. Lucifer, Hillel, the light carrier. And evidently Lucifer, or Satan, before he became Satan, was a light carrier. That's what his name is, real good. Have you ever heard anybody name Lucifer? Do you know anybody by the name of Lucifer? I think you do. I think you do. It's a good name. There's nothing wrong with the name Lucifer. Satan, nobody calls their kid Satan, except maybe some people that refer to their deeds.
Lucy.
Little devils. What?
Lucy.
Luke is Lucifer. Luke is the short form of Lucifer. Brother Phil's son is named Luke. His real name is Lucifer. But it's not a bad name. It's a good name. If Lucifer had carried out being Lucifer, there would be nothing wrong with what he did. And was he created perfect?
Mm-hmm.
Did God create anything imperfect? I don't believe God created anything to be damned. Now, some people believe that. He created the damned, or the reprobate, and the saved, the elect. I do not believe that. I believe all of us, one way or another, have a volition, a sovereignty, that we make that decision. In eternity past, God said that He wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life because He is all-knowing. He knew what we'd do in space and time. And He did that in eternity past because He could look through here. Can you just imagine a God that can see everything from eternity to eternity and has no problem at writing down prophecy? Okay? And everything that has ever happened now, in from eternity past to eternity future, is a plan to progressively reveal to us beautiful truths that will glorify God. And said to bring to light what the dispensation of the mystery, which for ages, we're talking about here we are over here in the New Testament time when Paul's writing it, but he's talking about this. All the way back, the ages. The church age, the age of the law, the Egyptian bondage, the promise, the human government, or the Noahic covenant. We have the age of conscience and we have the age of innocence. And we have eternity past. These are all ages. Now the ages that he's talking about here literally are back in eternity past. Okay. I've said this a lot of times. The earth is not 6,000 years old. Even people say that, but they don't know the Bible because the earth is not 6,000 years old. We have solid evidence historically that the earth is much, much older than that. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church. It says back up here in verse number 9 again, the mystery for which ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. Did it take God 6 days to create the earth? No. He spoke it into existence immediately, instantaneously. He reconstructed the earth in 6 days. That's time, a period of time. How God did this. Why did the earth have to be repaired and reconstructed? Because Satan destroyed it. Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. We could go there and look at that. We did that this morning. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. All right? The word here, church, is ecclesia. It means the assemblies. Does church as an institution or as an assembly, wherever it was, Now, at the writing of this letter, this is what we call the Ephesians letter, but it's actually more than the Ephesians letter. If you look in the beginning of it where it says, let's go back there and look at Ephesians 1 and 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus. Now, look over there in the middle column. At Ephesus is not there. This is a general epistle. This is a universal epistle for everyone, even unto us today. At Bakersfield, at Old River, at Ephesus. Ephesus was one of the places where this letter was copied many times and sent out. And those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the assemblies, or through the church as an institution. The church. So what age are we in that it's talking about? The church age. Now, let's go back to the age of innocence. Genesis 1:26, it said, God said, let us make man in our image, in our shadow casting likeness, in our blood and flowing niceness, and in our sovereign likeness. So man is triune. Okay? Man is triune. What happened? Did God create man evil? He created man with a sovereign volition, a sovereign will. It says that. In 1:26 onward, he said, let him rule over, let him have sovereignty over the earth and all this. And that was Satan's place before, or Lucifer's place. When he became Satan, he lost that right. And then he tells Adam in the garden to do something. Don't eat, but what else was he supposed to do? It said that he was supposed to till it. But actually, it says that he was supposed to guard it. Guard it from what? Satan's on the loose. All right, we know that there were animals there, and God created animals for what? Why did God create animals?
Companionship.
For companionship. Now, Marilyn, on the refrigerator or in the wall in there, you'll see her companions that she had, their little sheep that she was raising and petting and holding there. She had no friends. And those animals were her friends. And they were good friends to you. They loved you, didn't they, Marilyn? They loved you. Little lambs loved her. Like their mama. They'd come running to her. I raised two little lambs one time when I was very young. And I could come out and whistle or just... I would take milk bottle of little Coke bottles full of milk with little nipples on the end of them, and they'd come and run, and they'd do that. I had a clothesline pole. I could just hit that clothesline pole, and it would ring, and they'd come running. Mm-hmm. They thought I was their mama. They trusted me. I'd never done anything to them that would harm them at all. They trusted me. And the animals are like that. You have a kitty cat. Now, cats are a little more independent. Dogs, they just absolutely just throw all of their life into you, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
They trust you, and you are their protector and their companion, and they will protect you with their little lives.
Mm-hmm.
Animals were created for companionship. And animals, what did the animals eat back in the age of innocence? Vegetation. They were not carnivores. They were not meat eaters at all, or omnivores. They were vegetarians. They ate vegetables and herbs and things, and probably fruit. If you come up to my place in Fish Lake Valley, and you go down along the creek, what are you going to find down along the creek? What kind of fruit is down here, Marilyn? Not our fruit trees. What kind of fruit is down on our wild fruit is down on our creek? Yes.
Well, the little rose hips.
The rose hips. Rose hips are like eating. We have some rose hip tea in our cooking right now, and it's very flavorful. Now, you go along there, and I'm tracking it. See, I can tell you what's been down there, raccoon, fox, whatever. And you go along there, and you see scat. These are droppings. And then those droppings are rose hips. What eats rose hips? You go back in the mountains, and we have a canyon up here called Rose Canyon, and Rose Canyon is filled with roses. The whole canyon, hundreds of acres, is just roses. And you can trail the cattle through there, and the deer, and the foxes, whatever, and you will see scat from all of these with rose hips in it. They're eating this wonderful fruit. Bear will eat that. A bear will eat those rose hips. And bear like fruit, but they killed animals too, but at this period of time, in the age of innocence, they did not. Now, something happened there. The woman ate in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. Now, God told them to leave that tree alone, the knowledge of good and evil. Leave it alone. Don't bother it. It's mine. And in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, we find out that Satan had voluntarily entered into the serpent, the Nahash. We do not know what that snake, serpent, looked like before. But after this affair, what happened there, he crawled on his belly. That was a curse. Genesis, the 3rd chapter, we began a great controversy, a great conflict in the human race of good versus evil. In Genesis, the 3rd chapter. Now the serpent, the Nahash, became more crafty, more evil. That word is the room there. That means a room. You roll that resh there. He became more evil, more crafty, more stealthy than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, now he's communicating with his woman. Now, your animals can communicate with you. Do you have any dogs or cats or anything?
Two dogs.
Do they communicate?
Yes.
Yeah. They'll teach you and tell you what they want.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you tell them what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they do it.
Mm-hmm.
They communicate. Cats will communicate. I got a cat out here, Rusty. That cat loves to be touched. And she will drive you crazy. They come out and did the roof on the house, and she was in between the guy's legs. They were falling all over her and everything else. She wanted to be petted and picked up. Marilyn out there last night, when she tried to get back to the house after she was helping me put that window in, the cat was right between your legs all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to fall over almost.
I hit her on the head.
That was the end of that story. Then here she comes. She won't finish. She just won't leave with one pet. She wants to be petted a lot. The first thing she did was jump through the window that I'd cut a hole in the wall out there and try to get in the house and jump up on the bed. I get in there, threw her out. And then I turn my back and she jumps in and I throw her out again. Finally, she realized that she can't be there. She learned. So she went out there and sat on my stepladder and stayed there. Just stayed right there. And meowed at me and jumped up every time I got near her, wanting me to pet her. Well, this animal here became more crafty than any beast of the field. And then he began to question the woman, and the woman, Isha, she was not called Eve yet. Eve was not her name here. Her name was Isha. Isha means out of man. Eve means living. Hava, Chava. It comes from that. Living. And that was a weird thing. Because a woman ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because it looked good, it tasted good, and it made her wise. And the serpent said, God doesn't want you to be wise like he is. You'll be like gods if you eat this fruit. And evidently they ate all the fruit and the tree too, because it's wild, consecutive, and perfect. It kept on eating, kept on eating. She kept on giving to him, and they kept on eating. And then when the Lord God came along there, of course, he was knowledgeable of this all the time, you know. He told Adam to guard the ground, to guard the Eve, or not Eve, but don't guard Eve also, but to guard Eden. Said God planted a garden east in Eden. Eden means delicacies. In that Eden was the throne room of Adam. In the first Eden, according to the book of Ezekiel, the first Eden was where Lucifer's throne room was, where his headquarters were. And now Eden is the headquarters of Adam, which took the place of Lucifer. Now he is a caretaker of the material creation on this earth. And he willingly gave it up. He gave up his headship to Satan. All right? Man was head of over all things on the earth. Says he was. And then in Genesis 3:15, it tells us that God promised through the woman, he promised a Savior. And in Galatians, the 4th chapter, in the New Testament, it says, we also, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, or made of a woman. Now this is the Genesis 3:15 promise, under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now back in the book of Genesis, we have this promise in Genesis 3:15. That promise is fulfilled. Let's look back here now. The failure is they ate. And what was the curse and judgment? Number one, man cursed all of his whole domain. God cursed all of the animal kingdom. Because of man. Because of man's rebellious act there, the whole animal kingdom and the earth was cursed. The animate, the living things, and the inanimate. The earth itself was cursed. How was the earth cursed? According to Genesis, the 3rd chapter. How was the earth cursed? Well, I think we have ticks and we have fleas and we have lice and all of that.
Weeds.
From this time. What?
Weeds.
Weeds.
Thorns.
Thorns and thistles. Weeds. Now, they just finished harvesting carrots on our little farm here. But now, if you plow those carrots under, and didn't put anything in there, and didn't use any herbicides at all on there to kill weeds, there would be a tremendous crop of weeds out there, and thorns and thistles. There would be Johnson grass and nut grass. There would be goat heads, puncture vines, whatever you want to call them. They're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the worst things around here is these cocoa burrs, sand burrs. The sand burrs get in your everything, and they've got thorns all over them, and they stick like they're porcupine quills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this happened back there. That's how it happened. Now, the earth doesn't like that. Weeds can kill a tree, can't they?
Mm-hmm.
Weeds can kill a tree. Isn't that right? Weeds can kill a tree. Weeds can kill fruit of all sorts. Strawberries, they'll just get in there in the strawberry vines and they'll just choke them out. Weeds. This is noxious weeds. And it's all man's fault. We brought that curse. Adam brought that curse upon the whole animal kingdom. So, the curse and death, and man began the process of dying. Adam lived a long time, didn't he? Over 900 years. We don't know how long Eve lived. Maybe she outlived him. Maybe she didn't. We don't know. But when a woman is created, she has the ability to have 1,000 children back then. Now, girls, you have the ability to have 1,000 children today. There are that many little eggs in you, in your ovaries. Now, you're not going to live 1,000 years to do that now. But they had multiple births. They had twins and quadruplets and so on and so forth. And Eve was having a lot of babies. Lots of them. Probably Cain and Abel were born at the same time. But Cain was the firstborn. He was the first one to come out. And then probably Abel came out. And then maybe a girl or two or some other guys. There were a lot of them there. When Cain killed his brother Abel in the fourth chapter. Now, the thing about it is that when that boy was born, you have several children. How many children do you have?
Three.
How many?
Three.
Three children. Okay.
Two dogs.
Three what?
And two dogs.
And two dogs. Three children, two dogs. And dogs are like children, aren't they? They will obey you better than your children do most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But now let's look here in the fourth chapter, verse number 1, what happened here. Now, Adam named his wife. He gave her a brand new name. He called her Eve, the mother of all living, because she was going to bring forth a Messiah child in Genesis 3:15. In Genesis 4 and 1, they thought he was born. They thought the Messiah, Christ, was born. Now, the man had relations with his wife, Eve, and she conceived, and she gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child. And then it says, Et Jehovah. I have gotten a man-child, even Jehovah. Because she believed that he who shall become would come. She believed that. And during she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the flocks. He was a sheep herder and a cowboy. But Cain was a farmer, a tiller of the ground. And the ground, of course, was cursed, wasn't it? And then Abel was doing the right thing. He offered the right sacrifices and everything, but Cain did not want to follow orders. And here we have a biblical principle of hermeneutics called the rejection of the firstborn. Somehow the firstborn is rejected because something's wrong with them. Always. We find out that in the firstborn of all animals under the law, we have a conscience, then we have human government, and then we have the promise, and then we have the law. But this law, many things stated in this law were universal all the way back to here. Did you know that? We have the laws of Hammurabi and the laws of Hammurabi.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the laws of Hammurabi, you'll find out that they are related so much to this law that God gave by Moses. And you can see this all the way back in Abraham's time. When Jacob went over there to Haran, and he talked to Laban, and he wanted a wife, and he wanted this little girl named Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And his father-in-law Laban tricked him, and he got drunk, and he gave to him Leah. And then he makes the excuse why he tricked him like this. He said, well, according to our law. According to what law? The law of Hammurabi. You can go look that law up and you can read the different laws. It relates so much to the law of God. So much it relates to that. They knew right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they said, I can't give you my first, my younger daughter because the firstborn you must have her first. That's according to the law. Well, he got them both plus two other wives. So he ended up with four wives. And all of them, now a concubine, they weren't his concubines. I want you to understand that. He had Rachel and Leah, but what else? He had Bilhah and Zilpah. And everyone, see, a concubine's children does not have any rights. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
They're wives, but they don't have any rights. The children don't have any rights at birth. But every one of Jacob's children had rights, didn't they? We have the 12 tribes of Jacob from these concubines, which were his wives.
But I thought they were the maidservants of Leah, one, and then the maidservant of Rebecca. No, what's her name? Rachel.
Yes. Zilpah.
And they weren't concubines?
No, they became his wives. And yet they were called maidservants.
Mm-hmm.
But they were his wives. How do we know that they were his wives? Because the children that they had had inheritance.
And they had and then their names are in here.
Yes. Now, of course, also, Leah said, have my, and these will be my children. That's their mine. But those children had rights.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel said, take my servant and have her, and the children will be mine. And they did. But all of those children had rights. These are the 12 sons of Israel, 12 sons of Jacob. So we see that. Let's go on a little bit further. Man's failure is that he chose to believe Satan rather than God. He knew what he was doing. But he chose to go the wrong way. Because his wife did. He should have led his wife. Now, there was a certain distance between Adam and his wife when she partook of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. She became a sinner. She became evil, a room. Now, did Adam have to take that fruit?
No.
No. He could have chosen. Sometimes between a man and woman there is a split anyway. Today, don't we see that? Sometimes a woman will not believe. Sometimes a man will not believe in God. And you have these two individuals there, and they have a division. And I can probably, to some extent, say this is what happened here. The man still believed in God, but the woman had gone astray. And he chose, rather, to go the wrong way, knowledgeably, than to go and say, now, from now on, you know, God's curse upon the woman would have been the same. She's going to have children in stress and distress now. She's going to have a lot of pain when she has kids. Before, we don't think that the pain in childbirth was part of that. She could have had children before, couldn't she? Now, if you go into Mormonism and things like that, they will say that she had a whole bunch of children before she sinned, and all this mysticism and fables. She did not. These were her children. And this child that she thought was the Messiah now will murder the other child.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw the fruit of their sin in that child. Now, after that, they were supposed to offer a blood sacrifice and do good. Genesis 3:5 and 7:22 and 4:4. The failure was wickedness in Genesis the 6th chapter, and we talk about what all that wickedness was. Many people believe that, well, the Bible teaches this, that angels came down and married women, and they raised a race of monstrosities, and the human gene pool was corrupted. And that God flooded the earth. There was a universal flood. The whole earth was flooded. Now, as far as we know, no land animals, mammals were lived through this. Okay? No land animals. But porpoises, sharks, and whales, all of these live through that because they're different, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Even the great green whale sharks are a different type of big beast. I tell you what, to go out there in the ocean, we used to go out in the ocean, Maryland, just loved it. We had a chance to buy our boat back here a while back, and she said, I'm just not able to go back out there anymore. I can't help you anymore. I can't go out in the ocean, but she said, I loved it. We got there one time. We were out there, and this giant whale shark came by. Whoa, gigantic. Dwarfed us. Scary when you see something that big out there. And we got into the whales, didn't we? Big animals. And when we were out there that day, your cousin came out to us. What is her name? Your cousin.
Oh, you mean Priscilla?
Priscilla came out. We were out there in the boat catching fish, and whales were jumping. One whale especially was jumping for some reason, whatever they jump. But he jumped up. I stayed away from him. And we went in, and we brought our fish in. We put them up. Then we went back out on the old port in, and we watched the whales jump. And we were having dinner there. I used to like to take a ribeye steak, and I would cook ribeye steak and fresh fish. That's really, really good. And I have a salad. That's fantastic. Well, we had dinner there at the Old Port Inn that night with Priscilla, and we watched the whale jumping, and I took video of them jumping. They are gigantic animals. And remember Mr. Tibbs' ribs over here? Remember that? Now, Mr. Tibbs always would go out there, and he would go fishing. And he would go all the way out. He could drive all the way to Morro Bay. He'd run in and out all over the place. He was a real good captain. And he came down through there after dark, going to park his boat there on a buoy. And the whale jumped on top of his boat by accident. And it killed him. It killed him. Gigantic animal. Now, they made it through the flood. But the other animals on earth, there weren't any more elephants. There weren't any more giraffes or anything like that that made it through the flood. Now, did vegetation make it through the flood? There are trees and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, did it?
Oh, yeah. Sure. When the Lord let the dove, or when Noah let the dove go out, he brought back a olive branch. Well, one other thing that made it through the flood, now there's olive trees that are very, very old. But I'll tell you what, I've seen trees that made it through the flood. Through Noah's flood.
Sequoias?
Huh?
Sequoias?
No. Well, some of them did too. Up there where I live, the ancient Brisbane pines, some of those things are living that have been here for 6,000 years. There are other ones, you can see the lap length, they go all the way back to at least 7,000 B.C. Back in eternity past, they lived. That's, when you walk into something like that, it's just like walking on holy ground. When you see something that old. I was one other place in my life that I felt like that. When you walk, it just makes your hair stand up. Because these trees saw Adam. They were in existence then. The earth wasn't divided at that time. The earth was all in one place. These trees were still in high ground at that time. But they were there when Noah flood happened. That's not too long ago. They were old Noah flood. They were old when the pyramids of Egypt were built. But they were there. Living things that old. Now, we have a lot of fossils, don't we? Up there in Fish Lake Valley, Christine came up there. Chris and her husband, Jason, came up there. They've been up there, what, 3 or 4 times now. And I took them to the petrified forest. And I took them to the ancient petroglyphs. And we went up to the lake. We did not go up to the Patriarch Grove or any of the where the ancient Driscoll pines are. But we went out there to that petrified forest. And I went out there, and you can go out there and pick up pieces of bone that are petrified from animals thousands of years ago and trees. There was a whole forest of trees there, a whole forest. And you can see the stumps out there, and it's all petrified. The largest tree in the world is there, petrified. A giant sequoia is there petrified. Now, I didn't see that, but we looked for it because it is there. There was a record of them finding that gigantic long tree, big petrified tree. Well, man failed. God judged the earth and judged man and judged the woman. And that's a dispensation of time. We don't live in that time, do we? No, we don't live then. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem those under the law. That's here. What happened before the law? The age of conscience? Then we have a universal flood. Did the flood really happen? Yes, it really happened. There's evidence of that flood all over, even up there in those mountains where I live. Even up there, there's evidence of that flood. There's evidence that the earth was divided later on. We have the human government under Noah. And mankind was supposed to scatter and multiply. And what happened at that period of time in Genesis?
Babylon.
The Tower of Babel was built by Nimrod. And he starts universal worship of himself and his mother. The Madonna and Child. This is where the worship of Mary began. But it wasn't the worship of Mary. It was the worship of Nimrod and his mother. It goes way back. Back at that period of time. And God shook that tower down. And he confused the languages to where people did not understand each other. They went to different places on the earth, and then God divided the earth up. If God hadn't done that, the human race would have killed itself a long time, destroyed itself. Remember what it says over here in the book of Ephesians. Go back to the book of Ephesians. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. It says that the angels wish to look into this thing in eternity past. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the assembly, to the church, to the rulers, to the authorities, in heavenly places. Look at that, in heavenly places. Satan, his angels, all the angels. God is teaching the angels how much he loved man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is in accordance with the eternal purpose. We know that there is an eternal purpose in all of this progressive revelation that God has an eternal purpose. Ephesians 3:11. That eternal purpose is to bring all things back into harmony with himself through the merits of his Son, the product of Genesis 3:15. See, it is a mystery. But when you get the mystery tied together, human government did not scatter. They multiplied in one place, and then the confusion of languages and the division of the earth in the days of Peleg, God diverted the earth. And you know, when we go up to Nevada, every time we go up there, Maryland is amazed, aren't you? Every time we go up to Nevada from here, you are amazed when we go up 395. Something different, but you can see the earth in its formation, the volcanoes that were active. You can see the gigantic lava flows. Whether that happened in eternity past when Satan rebelled or where it happened and the division of the earth, we don't know. But it happened. It's there. That's evidence. It did happen. It happened. And then you go up there until you come to Highway 168, I think it is. And you go up on that highway, and you can go up there to about 11,000 to 12,000 feet, and you can see the oldest living things in the world. Talk about a revelation. How does God reveal Himself to mankind?
Through the creation.
Through the creation.
Sorry.
It just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So what else?
Everything on the earth.
Intuition. Mm-hmm. God tells you that He's there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have by special revelation, by the prophets, and finally by the Word of God and through His Son. That's how He revealed Himself to us. We saw God because we saw Jesus walking. And He is God. John 1:14 says, Kai ho logos sarx agenito. And by the way, the name Jehovah means He who shall become. And the Word, the Jehovah flesh, He became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We saw God walking. We saw Him walking. We'll go on from there. The confusion of languages, and then we're going to go into the age of promise. The age of promise. Do you have any questions at this point?
Thank you.
Okay.
But it's kind of simple. Well, how come so? They don't mention that many daughters when they say Adam had all these children. And then every now and then there'll be like one daughter that they mention.
Yes.
Why? Why even mention that one daughter?
Because the one daughter was very important. God wanted to make a point there. So He mentions the girl. Now, do you want to know who all many of the daughters and sons were of all the patriarchs? Go to the book of Jasher. That's a history book. And it'll tell you what Noah's wife's name was and where she came from. And she was over 100 years older than Noah. All right. And she, I think, was a son of Seth. Or daughter of Seth, that is. And so you go back and you can find that. You'll find out the names of Noah's three sons' wives. It gives their names, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But you'll find out where they come from and who they were related to. The book of Jasher tells you that. Now, I'm not saying the book of Jasher is inspired, but it's a history book that goes way, 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 way back. All right? But when you see a woman's name mentioned in the Bible, God's making a point. Pay the attention. God's doing something unusual. He's
mm-hmm.
making a point because He mentions a woman. All right. Anything else? Phil, you may ask questions also now, don't?
No, I know. But not yet. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How about it, Christina? You have another one?
I did, but I forgot it.
Oh, okay.
It'll come back.
All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll dismiss this class and finish this recording. But you may still ask questions afterwards, okay? Because I'm still here and you're still here. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out that You might glorify Yourself with it, that people might understand You and Your Word better. We study Your Word to understand You and how that You want to be a part of our lives. And Father, thank You for all the blessings.